Good morning, Oasis family. It's a real privilege to be with you this morning. It's actually been a while since I've been up here because I've been a little bit busy, so apologies for that. Many of you will recognise me as the guy who's recently taken over the role of leading the children's ministry. And if I'm being completely honest with you, it is a role, a position that I never thought I'd find myself in. I'm a husband and a father, and I used to think that I had it so easy, I'll be honest. I'd bring my two boys to church each week. They'd get taken away to Sunday school. Someone would teach them something, and then they'd be handed back to me at the end of the service. But then this virus happened, and although church buildings were closed, actual church carried on. The difference being that I went from a spectator depositing his children for someone else to invest in them spiritually to pastor, worship leader, kids worker overnight. And I'll be honest with you, it hit me like a train. I met with the Sunday school team recently for the first time, and I shared a bit about me and how I've ended up in this role. And I explained to them that God has always been very faithful to my family. I've never worried about how we'd pay the bills, how we'd feed the children, never worried about the health of the children, even when they were poorly. But over the last couple of years, there's only been one thing that has troubled me, troubled my soul so much that it's caused me to wake up in the dead of night. And that's the realisation that if I want to see my children saved, then I would need to be intentional about showing them the love of Jesus. Okay, so for anyone who has already zoned out, I can assure you that I'm not going to spend the next 25 minutes trying to sign you up to run Sunday school. Or will I? It's actually 45 minutes because Jane finished early last week, so... Robin's not impressed. Now, all through the Bible, all right, this isn't new information, all through the Bible, children are seen as a blessing. Yet, even in Jewish society, with clear Old Testament regard for children, they were mostly seen for their eventual contribution to the family's productivity and income. The time from birth to adulthood was often viewed as an unavoidable phase to get through until the children could become more useful to the family. Now, for those of us who grew up in church and experienced Sunday school themselves as a child, I wonder if that brings back any memories. So much of my Sunday school days were in the 90s, okay? Yeah, he's that young. Or old. And from what I can remember, we're very much out of sight, out of mind, usually preparing for some Mother's Day puppet show, or passing around the Mars bars to all the dads on Father's Day. My parents shared a home video with me recently, and it showed me performing in a Christmas sketch at church, and I actually think I was one of the seven wise men. It will come as no surprise to you to hear me say how important children are to us at Oasis, but this isn't by accident. It's come about through love, loving God, loving others, loving ourselves, but also through biblical instruction. So Moses directed the people back in the day, Moses instructed the people to trust God and obey him. And he had been doing that constantly, and it's the best gift that he gives to Israel. You can consider Deuteronomy, his textbook for the people on knowing God and keeping his ways. It's a rehash of all that we've read through Exodus to Numbers. So in Deuteronomy 6, he says, "These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates." Why is he retelling the stories of God? Of God's salvation and provisions. Why is he restating God's commands? Well, he's facing a new generation. He won't enter the promised land with them, and the people need to remember God and keep his ways, remember his salvation and his covenant with them. The old generation that left Egypt with him 40 years ago had all perished in the wilderness, with the exception of himself, Joshua, and Caleb. And this new generation are those that are 20 years and below. And they were born in the wilderness during the long journey. And they're now on the edge of the promised land, preparing to enter it. And that faith in God needs to be passed on. So Moses recalls all that God has said and done. And it's important that we pass on our faith too. And this is actually in the Great Commission. We read in Matthew 28. Go and make disciples and teach them to obey everything I have commanded you, the Lord says. We are called to make disciples after us so that they too will know God and pass on what they know. And this is the best gift that you can give someone, to pass on our faith, to help someone put their faith in God and walk in his ways. It's probably the greatest and most lasting blessing that we can give someone. Moses emphasised particularly the responsibilities of the parents in this, because they form the new generation first and probably have the greatest influence on the children. Deuteronomy 6, verse 2. So that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live. And this was emphasised a couple of times and then repeated again in chapter 11. The new generation wasn't just challenged to keep the faith, but also to pass the faith on to their children and grandchildren. When Moses says to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength, that's obviously more than a few hours on a Sunday morning. Although that is also obviously a good foundational start. These commandments are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit down at home, not church. When you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up, tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Impress them. Do whatever it takes to help them remember God's word. It's deliberate. And it's intentional. Moses' idea of children's ministry wasn't earmarked for Sunday mornings only, and nor was he suggesting that it was the role of the church only to facilitate and develop a child's faith. Parents, grandparents, carers, if you're hearing me right now and you're thinking, oh, I haven't got a Scooby, how to disciple my children, then hear this. The very fact that you are here, that you've brought your children here, that you're hearing me right now, you're recognising that your children need to have their own personal relationship with Jesus, is proof that God has already begun pursuing their hearts through you. My encouragement would be, press into that. Keep bringing your children to church regularly. Be concerned about your child's spiritual well-being. Be consistent in bringing your child to church each week. And if you can't make it, let us know and we'll find a way to get your child here, because it's important. Parents, I want to connect with you, not just with your children. Tell me where you're at with discipling your children. I'll tell you where I'm at with discipling mine. We'll swap notes and we'll find best practice. If our parents need coaching, training, encouraging, tell me and I'll work with Pastor Robin how best to equip you. However, everyone who's just zoned out who's not a parent, this does not mean that you go at it alone. I do believe that we are all called to possess the faith, proclaim the faith, and practice the faith, which is to model it. The three P's of faith: possess, proclaim, and practice. Moses did that. and so must we. Future generations will know the truth from us, from you and I and the rest of the church family. Oasis family, if you're a parent to grown-up children and you're not discipling a younger parent and encouraging them how to disciple their children, why not? If you've got a pulse and you love Jesus, but you're not sure how the children's ministry can use your giftings, then I want to connect with you. It's asher@oasisredditch.church. The reality is that we, the church, this church, the body of Christ, is just one generation away from extinction, spiritual extinction. We need just one generation to do nothing, and the new generation won't know God. And I want to emphasise there that I said, will not know God, rather than will not know of God. Psalm 34 verse 8 reads, taste and see that the Lord is good. And I believe that we all carry that responsibility, not just the parents. Moses says in chapter 6, verse 1, these are the commands, decrees and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe, same as the Great Commission. I am teaching you, I am telling you, I am giving you God's commands. We see these phrases repeated throughout the book. Moses explained many times that there is a resulting... Moses explained many times the need to keep God's word. Chapter 6, verse 2. So that you may enjoy a long life. Verse 3. So that it may go well with you. This "so that" appears many times. There is a resulting blessing that comes from obedience to God's word. Chapter 4, verse 40, keep his decrees and commands so that it may go well with you and your children after you. Chapter 5, verse 33, walk in all the way your God has commanded you so that you may live and prosper. 6:24, the Lord commanded us to obey all these decrees so that we might always prosper and be kept alive. And some people sometimes think that this means material blessings, as in obey God and you'll be prosperous, successful, well provided for, and can live comfortable lives. But actually, it had already been said that the land they're about to step into is a land flowing with milk and honey. In chapter 6, verses 10 to 12, Moses calls it a land with large flourishing cities you did not build, houses filled with all kinds of good things you did not provide, wells you did not dig, and vineyards and olive groves you did not plant. They inherited the rich land. It was given a gift from God by his grace. So when Moses says, keep God's commands so that you can enjoy a long life and it may go well for you, he wasn't referring to material blessings, but rather he's referring to the blessings of God's presence, his protection, the experience of his goodness and love. They are spiritual blessings that come from their right relationship with God. And I believe that the Oasis family has had the right relationship with God. And I believe that God has been hugely faithful to this church, and he's blessed us in many ways over many years. And when I brought before him recently the need for more support in the children's ministry, I asked the Lord, how will we grow this team? And I believe that he gave me a picture. And in order for me to show you, I need to move out of the way. The image that the Lord gave me was an empty stage, as you can see right here. There was no worship team, no prayer team, no pastor. And I felt in my heart that the Lord was saying, I will supply every need of yours. And in my heart, I felt that everyone who was missing from the stage, they were next door with the children. The following Sunday morning, And you might remember this if you were connecting with us, but when Pastor Robin was speaking, he was actually joined on stage by two of our 3-year-olds who started drumming. And I felt that it was prophetic drumming.
Don't worry about the feedback, not your problem. Those were the words.
Prophetic drumming. Two of our 3-year-olds made it to the drum kit. And I'll be honest with you. Anyway, you got the illusion. That stirred my spirit, the prophetic drumming. I was reminded of 2 Corinthians 9 verse 6, which says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. And I want that for us, for our church and for our children, for the kingdom, stronger, better, together. Doing life God's way brings his blessings. Keeping his word will go well for us as a church. And I think it's a fair assumption that every member would want that for the church and that every parent would want that for their child. Okay, so we bring the children into church. We take them next door. We give them a biscuit and a drink. And then we teach them about the Bible. We do as Moses instructed when he said, I am teaching you, I am telling you, I am giving you God's commands. And to be fair, it's seemingly done the job. Tick the box for the last however many years, yeah? I'm sure when Pastor Robin was in Sunday school all those years ago, he was taught all about Noah's Ark. And it's okay for us to be teaching our children today about Noah's Ark. New children, new generation. The Bible hasn't changed in that space of time. So in terms of biblical content, being taught that hasn't changed either. But answer me this. Is that enough? Do we want that to be enough? Do you want that to be enough? Would we be doing as much as we could for the next generation to impress on them? Or would we possibly be doing as little as we possibly could and then leaving it to the parents to sort out the rest? There's a well-known incident in the Gospels between Jesus and his disciples regarding children. And I'm taking this from Book of Mark, so Mark chapter 10. Then they, the parents, brought little children to him that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. And when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, let the children come to me and do not forbid them. For of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. And he took them in his arms, laid his hands on them and blessed them. In all honesty, I could deliver a whole message on that passage alone. However, for today, there's just 2 things I want to focus on. Firstly, in no uncertain terms, he says, allow the little children to come to me. And to reinforce how he felt about the children, he added, and do not forbid them. The children are not an afterthought. Jesus wants to be with them. His reaction here teaches us that he has a love for those that are vulnerable and powerless. And I believe that we're all called to replicate that love. Secondly, Jesus lifts them up as the true heirs of the kingdom. He says, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. And I think that we can all learn from this. Adults have a tendency to feel like they have to work for whatever they get, whereas children realize that everything they're given is a gift. The real problem is that the older we get, the harder it is to submit your all to God. Adults want to know the deal, the terms and conditions, what's the features and the benefits for them personally. Adults are not as receptive, not as open, responsive and believing like a little child is. They're prejudiced, self-opinionated, proud, unwilling to believe unless it fits within their ideas. Jesus was teaching something very important that Entry into his kingdom cannot be earned by human merit or works in any way. Salvation must be received as God's gift by simple trust, recognizing that you have no right, nor ability, nor power to enter into God's kingdom in any other way other than by simply receiving it, by the kind of simple trust of a child. Now we read in John 21, verses 15 and 17, 2:17, that Jesus had been crucified and he's come back and he's risen from the grave and he's just spending a brief time with his disciples. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." And Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Tend my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus had asked him a third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." The good shepherd is about to ascend to heaven, and it's clear that someone else needs to take care of the flock, and he gives this job to his disciples. "You love me?" asks Jesus. "Then feed my lambs." See how one leads directly to the other, hand in hand? If you love Christ, show your love by service in his church. If you're devoted to the good shepherd, be devoted to his flock. Lambs, especially. We might think we're not qualified, or that someone else will take ownership of something for us. But Jesus calls us all to treat his people just like he treats them, with gentleness, compassion, and true concern. And that's how we show our love for Jesus. Feed my lambs. The task of caring for the sheep is not a one-time thing. It is a continual and ongoing process. For Jesus answers Peter a second time, "Tend my sheep." In his instructions, he's gone from feeding to tending, move from lambs to sheep. But there's no great difference here. Lambs need to be fed, sheep need to be guided. They are weak and helpless on their own. So Christ's flock must constantly be strengthened and protected. A third time, Jesus gives the command, "Feed my sheep." If the band want to make their way up, and if the children, if they're finished with their activities. As a parent myself, I can personally testify to 3 John chapter 1, verse 4, which says, "I have no greater joy than this, to hear of my children walking in the truth." And when my children, when they stand on the chair next to me and they're singing with all they've got, often out of key and drowning out the actual musicians, I cannot be but humbled by the grace and mercy of God. But I believe that this is only the beginning for us as the Oasis family. I believe that God has more in store for us, a revival of our town. My vision is this, that our children would outgrow our adult congregation by 2-1. And that's bold, I know. But remember, whoever sows generously will also reap generously. I can see our children's ministry team needing to outnumber any other ministry team by 2-1. Our spending will likely outnumber all other ministries by 2-1. If you're not already, please pray for our children. Pray for our families. Pray for our ministry team. Ask the Lord how you can best serve our children, whether that's frontline or behind the scenes. Please connect with me. Asher@oasisredditch.church. Thank you.